Welcome to the VK7 Amateur Radio News for the 16th of February 2020. This broadcast is brought to you by VK7 Whiskey India and read today by Justin, VK7TW. This broadcast utilises repeaters around VK7 and the following rebroadcast stations. On 3.670 MHz by Ross, VK7 ALH, 7140 MHz by yours truly, Justin, VK7TW, 14130 MHz by Gary, VK7 JGD, and 28525 by Tony, VK7 VKT, and of course on DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 091 by Clayton, VK7 ZCR. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in the north and VK7RTC in the south. And we start today with a call to action, Future of Amateur Radio Poll Number 1. When the Foundation licence was made available in the mid-2000s, a decision was taken at the time to create a four-letter call sign that would distinctly identify Foundation users. This call sign, colloquially called the F-call, has remained in existence from this time. Recent changes to the licence conditions determination, the LCD, have permitted operators with Foundation licences to operate digital modes, and one of the challenges that has been created is that a number of the digital modes require by design a call sign that does not exceed 6 characters. The current F-call has 7. This has resulted in a situation whereby Foundation licensees are unable to fully leverage the new license conditions in the manner in which it was intended by the updates to the LCD. The WIA predicted this challenge in our joint response to the ACMA LCD consultation process in August 2019. During the process of developing the joint submission to the ACMA, a number of key issues were considered prior to making the recommendation or made in this submission. And they were the purpose of the call sign, the demonstrated negative social impact associated with the existing F-call arrangement, e.g. call sign discrimination, changes to technology over the past 15 years, and the social benefit of various options presented. So the selection criteria, it is with the view of the WIA that any call sign change should permit the use of digital modes by Foundation users, conform to the International Amateur Radio Service 6-character call sign format, encourage inclusive behaviour within amateur radio, be aligned to the WIA's call sign for life vision, permit simple implementation without significant cost or new administrative process, present no material impact to other operators' quiet enjoyment of amateur radio, and scale to support amateurs into the future. So this document describes the options that have been presented for resolving this matter and the issues associated with each option contemplated in these terms. So the WIA recommendation: having reviewed the available options, there is only one proposed option that achieves a positive outcome across all the above selection criteria, and this is option 1, as described in detail below. Why? The WIA is of the view that the best balance of objective is achieved through the removal of all class-based call sign allocations, prefixes, for both the Foundation and other call signs. Now, note 1. The historical reason for the use of these prefixes Z, Y, F, etc. no longer exists. The information that is embedded in the call sign in terms of license class is readily available through public databases. Note 2, option 1 does not imply that a current Foundation license holder needs to change their current call sign. It's entirely at the discretion of the individual to retain their existing 7-character call sign or not. Please take a moment to read through the information pack that the WIA supplied, which relates to Foundation license call sign structures. All WIA members will be invited to participate in the poll, and non-WIA members may register to participate in the poll by registering at the following address at poll.wia.org.au. And QSL News, the report from Herman, VK7HW, the manager of the WIA VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. And as mentioned over several broadcasts, Herman VK7HW has recently delivered any long-stored and unclaimed QSL cards to the WIA head office for archiving. On checking call signs in call books, QRZ.com, and against the ACMA database, a significant number were not listed in any The current list of cards held is included in the email version of the broadcast. Please contact Herman if you can assist in delivering any of the cards in your area. And if you have any questions re QSL cards, please contact Herman by email at vk7bureau, or one word, at wia.org.au. And that's 73 from Herman, VK7HW, the WIA manager, VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. And now we move to news from the Northwest. The Northwest Tasmanian Radio and TV Group Annual General Meeting. And NWTR and TVG held its annual general meeting on Saturday the 1st of February. The executive elected were President Shirley, VK7HSC, Vice President Matthew, VK7ML, Executive Officer Kirsty, VK7FKKK, Secretary Anne, VK7BYL, Treasurer Eric, VK7EV, Membership Officer also Eric, VK7EV, and Eric offered to continue as the Club News Officer. The repeater committee is Dave, VK7DC, and Matthew, VK7ML. And that came from Eric, VK7EV, the News Officer. And the Chat and Show group, hello to our group. On March the 7th, it will be the next group gathering at the Penguin Sports Centre, Ironcliff Road, Penguin, and it will commence at 2 p.m. and is open to local members as well as visitors to our state if in Penguin on the day. The aim of the group is to create interaction and friendship between operators, whether a club member anywhere or not from any location. Just a meet and greet day with some other activities supplied by group members. So if you have anything you would like to show, or have made or collected something, bring it along. Or if there's a subject you would like to discuss, come along and join us. I do ask for a small offering of food for afternoon tea from everyone, and I'll provide tea and coffee. So drop in any time from 2 p.m. until 5 p.m, though getting there for the start will ensure you are less likely to miss any talks given. The doors do remain open until 6 p.m. if necessary, but dropping up until 5 is so that any late arrivals will have time to chat. And that's cheers from Shirley, VK7HSC. News from the North, SOTA and Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks and Reserves Group. The meeting times from 10:30 a.m. on Monday and Friday at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, 166 Henry Street, Launceston. And for any details, please contact Al on mobile 0417 354 410. And that's 73 from Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy. Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated. And we commence this week with a report from the NTARC Annual General Meeting held last Wednesday, the 12th of February, which saw an attendance of 26 voting members and 2 visitors. Extensive reports by the President, Treasurer, each of the club activity leaders, and the all-important auditor's statement were tabled, and each were received well by the membership, leaving all with a sense that 2019 has been another great year for NTARC. The election saw the return of Idris VK7ZIR as President, Peter VK7KPC as Vice President, Yvonne VK7FYMX as Secretary, Andre VK7ZAB as Treasurer, and Rosalind No Callsign as committee member. Roger VK7ARN was again reappointed as our internal auditor, and Yvonne VK7FYMX was reappointed as our public officer. All the club activity coordinators were again appointed to their respective tasks. VK7YBG Tony as Northern Repeater Officer, David VK7JD continuing his role as project manager for Mount Arthur, with both being assisted by Paul VK7KPA and Andrew VK7DW as assistant repeater officers. Further afield, Hayden VK7HH continues as our repeater officer south, assisted by Michael VK7MRS. Tony VK7YBG will be stepping down as the weekly WIA broadcast facilitator at the end of the month due to work and family commitments, and Indris on behalf of the members thanked Tony for his work over the past 15 years as the WIA broadcast facilitator. A roster will be established, and Peter VK7PD, Andrew VK7DW and Peter VK7KPC have already put forward their names to take part. If any other member would like to assist, then please contact Peter VK7PD. Other club activity coordinators agreeing to continue in their role for 2020 were Peter VK7PD as Education Officer, PWK7KPC as Jota Jotai Coordinator, and Norm VK7KTN as our Safety Communications Coordinator. The business of the meetings proceeded at a good pace, with the agenda completed at 2,800 hours. President Idris therefore brought matters to a close and proceeded to open the February General Meeting, which was completed at 2,040 hours. This was followed, as usual, by what else but a heavy, very heavy laden supper table, which was thoroughly enjoyed by all. Once again, our lady members excelled themselves. Okay, that was the AGM done and dusted. Moving right along, the following item is courtesy of Peter, VK7PD, who provides all with a report on the latest up on the mountain. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. Mount Arthur Repeater Upgrade Trip, February 2020. Following removal from Mount Barrow, the 6-metre repeater had been at the Mount Arthur site since 2015, but the duplexer cavities had been withheld for retuning and testing, meaning the repeater has been out of action for all that time. On Saturday, February the 8th, Repeater Officer Tony, VK7YBG, organised an expedition to rectify this. The party consisted of organisers Tony, VK7YBG, Site Manager David, VK7JD, our Southern Repeater Officer and VK Link Coordinator Hayden, VK7HH, Assistants Andrew, VK7DW, Tim, VK7KPC, Peter, VK7ZPE, and Peter, VK7PD. There were two major objectives, they being to make the 6-metre repeater operational and install a small auxiliary tower adjacent to the southwest corner of the hut. Main physical tasks of the labour force were to carry the duplex cavities and tower to the site, then install the tower. Photos of this operation can be seen on the VK7 Amateur Radio Facebook page. Major activities including moving the APRS antenna from the northern mast to the temporary mount on the shed, installing the 6-metre repeater antenna on the northern mast, drilling rocks to mount the new tower and guy points, configuring hardware to enable the VK linking of the 6-metre repeater and install the duplexer. Tim and Tony busied themselves with the antenna moves, while Andrew and Peter, ZPE, performed the rock drilling closely supervised by David. Hayden addressed the repeater installation and configuration, while VK7PD held the ladder and tower, which wasn't getting in the way. By early afternoon, the repeater was working and contact was made with VK7SW in Scottsdale. It was observed that in the absence of a signal, the mute was held open by noise, and that was soon traced to the solar regulator. This was not unexpected, as a similar problem had been encountered at Mount Duncan some years previously. This will mean another trip to install filtering, when it is also planned to install the APRS antenna on the new tower. As he had further to travel, Hayden left the site ahead of the rest, but called in when he found himself bushed. This happened to the writer in the same place on the previous trip. Extra markers which were placed had been obscured, allegedly by overzealous members of the local walking club. Under different circumstances, the consequences could have been dire. Fortunately, Hayden was soon guided back onto the track and continued home. A very successful day with much achieved, 73 from Peter, VK7PD. And 2020 membership renewals. I know that I said I was going to do this in the week just gone, but that never happened due to my need to attend to all the paperwork required for the AGM. So a final reminder notice will be sent out this week to those who have yet to renew their 2020 membership. Your membership for 2019 expired on the 31st of December and your name now appears in the membership register as unfinancial member. It will remain as such on the register until renewed or until 30th of June when your name must be removed if your annual subscription remains unpaid at the date. In the interim, a reminder to NTARC's 2020 membership fees are $35 for a full voting member and $5 additional for each family member that the voting member wishes to add to his or her primary membership. Coming events, technical session. The next session will be Wednesday the 19th of February and will commence at the usual time of 7:30 p.m. running through to 10:30 p.m. at the club rooms, Archer Street, Rochelle. Pop in, catch up with fellow members. Bring along something that you are currently building or just ask questions. You might be able to answer some from another attendee. This is what these evenings are all about. Anything of a technical or near-technical nature, however defined, is fair game. Endless tea and coffee and biscuits are available for a small gold coin donation. And Shack Clearance Auction, Saturday the 29th of February. As mentioned previously, all items have been stored in the main hall and the last day for viewing will be Friday the 21st of February. The following week, all items will be catalogued and some case a reserve will be applied in readiness for the auction. Viewing on the auction day will commence at 10 a.m. with the auction to commence at noon, and the auctioneer on the day will be Nick, VK7BEE. The March General Meetings, Saturday the 14th, will be a barbecue meeting, which we will not be having a barbecue. Instead, we will be having sandwiches, fruit and cheese platters. We thought a change from barbecue would be nice. NTARC will provide all the lunch fare and will commence at noon, cost $10 per person, and this covers you for lunch and afternoon tea. The meeting will follow at 2 p.m. As always, we ask for donations of cakes and slices and other delights to share at afternoon tea. And coffee mornings are normally held Monday and Friday in the NTARC club rooms and are now back in full swing. Catch-up time is 10 a.m. to noon, and we look forward to seeing all of you there. Please remember that aside from the good company, funny stories from our entertainment officer Ebenezer VK7AT, and genuinely good fare on offer, these coffee events are normally a good opportunity to collect your QSL cards. As I remind all every week, please demonstrate your appreciation of the efforts that goes into operating the club and its facilities and the other services we provide by joining us at these sessions, enjoying the company, cake and coffee. And finally, a reminder to all the members that if you have any items of news that you would like added to the weekly roundup, then please email them to the following address, ntarc.emails@gmail.com. And however, it would be appreciated if any news could be sent no later than 1700 hours on Friday prior to the broadcast to allow its timely insertion into the NTARC segment. This gives all a chance to get the NTARC segment together and off to Hobart in time for collation into the VK7 broadcast. Your continued cooperation in this regard will be gratefully appreciated. As always, I look forward to seeing you at Rochelle 73 from Yvonne, VK7FYMX, the Secretary of NTARC Inc. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And news from the South, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania, REST Presentation Night. Last Wednesday night, we were privileged to have a QRP guru, Peter Parker, VK3YE, along with his presentation, Fun with QRP. Peter started with, what is QRP? Reasons to operate QRP? Does QRP work? Then the presentation moved to a review of commercial and kit transceivers, kits and semi-kits, and homebrew. Peter then moved to batteries, recommended antennas, antennas to avoid, antenna materials, supporting the antenna, matching the antenna, and making contacts. Peter then posed the questions, are conditions that bad? With some examples of DX contacts with QRP. Moving from HF pedestrian mobile, Peter outlined his loop and wade antennas. There was a great summary video of QRP contacts that finished with another station not believing it was a QRP contact. Peter finished with his summary and some great promotion of the many books that he has published, including the recent Australian Radio Handbook, which is now available from JCAR stores. Peter took questions from the audience and then had a coffee to finish. A huge thank you to Peter Parker, VK3YE, for coming along and giving us a fantastic presentation on Fun with QRP. The presentation was streamed and recorded by the DATV Experimenters Group and can be found on the REST YouTube channel, and the link can be found on the email edition of this broadcast. Paul, VK7FPCL, who is the president of the Peter Parker VK7 fan club, even got his electronic copy of his Australian Radio Handbook digitally signed by Peter on the night. On you, Paul. DATV Experimenters Night Wrap-Up. We get back underway with our DATV Experimenters Nights this Wednesday from 7:30 p.m. There are three experimenters who are working on improving the power levels of their 1296 MHz rigs, and that will be VK7ZBX, ZMS and TW. And Richard, VK7ZBX, has streaked ahead and almost finished his high-power Russian 23cm rig on you, Richard. Therefore, Murray and Justin are playing catch-up and will be doing some power measurements on Wednesday night. We'll also have a wrap-up of the summer VHF-UHF field day results that were released this week, and I'm sure that there will be a range of other projects being undertaken on the night, and these will feature in the DATV studio and club rooms. So if you have any projects, bring them along and talk about them. We go out on RF on 444.5 MHz DVB-T 7 meg standard definition. So if you have a TV, set-top box or USB DTV dongle that can tune and scan 445.5 MHz and you can see the Queen's Domain, then you've got a good chance of receiving the DATV Experimenter's night signal. Look out for VK7OTC. We also stream the nights on the Reese YouTube channel and Facebook. We get underway with the night from 7:30 p.m. and we look forward to seeing you there. And that's 73 is from yours truly, Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey. And technical article, Fighting Fire with Comms Firepower by Jonathan Nally. The New South Wales Telco Authority found itself in the thick of a battle during the recent bushfires. During the summer's awful bushfires, firefighters, both volunteer and professional, along with numerous other emergency personnel, utility crews, council employees and many others, have worked tirelessly over many months to tackle the crisis. And many of those personnel have worked almost continuously during that period. Unseen in the background, others too have been working to provide and maintain essential services to those frontline crews and by extension the wider public. That dedication is exemplified by the New South Wales Telco Authority, whose network operations team and telecommunications emergency management unit had provided 150 continuous days as of early February of 24-hour emergency coordination of telecommunications support of the bushfire operations, including having liaison officers based at the Rural Fire Service headquarters when required. The support has been vital in assisting the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, Fire and Rescue New South Wales, New South Wales Ambulance, New South Wales Police and State Emergency Service perform their roles. The authority is responsible for managing the government radio network, the primary network for New South Wales government agencies and emergency service organisations that use mobile radio communications. The GRN provides an essential link between headquarters and firefighters on the ground, in all corners of New South Wales, supporting everything from firefighting to air operations, ambulance response and other emergency services tasking. Almost 10 million calls were made across the GRN between the 1st of November 2019 and the 1st of February 2020. Next to 000, this is the most important emergency communications network in New South Wales, says Authority Managing Director Kyla de Courtney. The authority has worked closely with agencies to protect radio communications towers throughout the crisis, some of which were damaged by fires. Bushfires put a huge strain on our telecommunications infrastructure, limiting radio coverage and mobile phone coverage, says de Courtney. It was vital to get the government radio network communications back up for firefighters so fleets on the ground and in the air can continue to coordinate operations, response and recovery, she said. Where network infrastructure was damaged by the fires, the authority rapidly deployed a series of cell-on-wheels or CALs, portable base stations. After two government radio network sites at Mount Wanderer and Batemans Bay were destroyed by fires, we immediately deployed cell-on-wheels to provide temporary radio communications at these sites, including working with the Australian Defence Force to airlift equipment from Coffs Harbour to Cooma, de Courtney said. The authority's bushfire support effort also included restoring or expanding critical communications where existing infrastructure had been destroyed or where mains power was not available. More than 20 portable generators were pressed into service to ensure electricity could be maintained where mains power had been affected, and many were put on standby for deployment into areas identified as being risk from fires. As well as restoring communications, the authority proactively put portable generators on standby, readied capacity expansion kits to manage radio congestion, and stationed four cows at sites identified as being at risk of being affected by the fires. The sites were made operational using temporary satellite infrastructure to provide essential and enhanced radio communications coverage for emergency services. During firefighting operations, more than 10 Optus satellite services, very small aperture terminals, were used in affected areas to support radio communications. New South Wales telco Backhaul Architects also designed a satellite solution and installed it into portable Pelican-style cases. This system, called the Chimeter satellite panels, which, unlike a typical satellite dish that must be physically aligned with the satellite, are electronically steerable and enable rapid deployment. The authority also worked with carriers to fix damaged infrastructure to restore essential services such as internet access, mobile phone coverage, and electricity for hospitals, businesses, volunteer organisations, and other services. And that story was sourced from the Web eZine Critical Comms. Regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. Regular gatherings: Soda Group, Monday and Friday coffee sessions, 10:30 a.m. at Glebe Gardens Cafe, 166 Henry Street, Launceston. Intark, Monday and Friday coffee sessions at 10 a.m. Technical sessions Wednesday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. in the club rooms, Archer Street, Rochelle, Launceston. Reist, Wednesday noon, lunchtime group. And the Wednesday night experimenters group from 7:30 in the Queen's Domain club rooms. And the Reist Microwave QSO party after the Sunday broadcast on 1296.15 MHz FM. Events: Reist AGM, Sunday the 16th at 11 a.m. Domain Club Rooms. NTARC, Saturday the 29th of February, Shack Clearance Auction. NW Chat and Show Group, March the 7th. NTARC General Meeting, Saturday, March the 14th. Meet the Voice at Ross on the 22nd of March, and the WIA Annual Conference Weekend, the 8th to the 10th of May 2020. And a reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast: the newsreader VK7ZIR, repeaters Reist, NTARC, NWTR and TVG, 80 metres VK7JGD, 40 metres VK7ALH, 20 metres VK7FB, 10 metres VK7VKT, DMR, Talk Group 5 and D-Star, Reflector 091, VK7ZCR. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in the north and VK7RTC in the south. Thanks to all people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. That concludes our VK7 Amateur Radio News broadcast for this week. You have been listening to, or have just missed, VK7 A Whiskey India. Next week, the national WIA news can be heard at 0900, followed by the VK7 Amateur Radio News at 0930 hours. Items for the broadcast can be emailed to vk7arnews, or one word, at gmail.com. And further information about the broadcast can be found at the VK7 Amateur Radio News groups.io group, and the deadline for items is 2100 on Friday prior to the Sunday of the broadcast. VK7 Whiskey India is now closing, but will reopen shortly for callbacks and relay reports. Callbacks will be taken on the frequency to which you are listening. Relay stations will use their own call signs during the callback. From the VK7 Amateur Radio News team, it is 73 from Justin, VK7, Tangled Whiskers.